talking mail pieces, Larry Flynt, and all that the Indiana Senate race has become, what the polls say. The effort to paint Mike Pence as extreme, why Michael Bloomberg is helping Indiana candidates, and grades for schools. That, plus predictions and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending November 2, 2012.
Ice Miller. Proud to support Indiana Week in Review. The path to a successful business has unexpected twists and turns. The legal professionals at Ice Miller are dedicated to guiding businesses along the journey. Experience takes businesses to the top. Ice Miller can help them stay there. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.
This week, the controversy sparked by Richard Murdoch's debate comments about rape and abortion continues to dominate the Senate race. It has prompted some unusual campaign tactics that include a talking mailer.
The negative mailer from a Democratic Political Action Committee includes a recording of Richard Murdoch's voice.
Even when life begins in that horrible situation of rape.
That's the comment from last week's debate that started the firestorm that also prompted this full-page newspaper ad. It's from Hustler magazine publisher Larry Flynt, who offers $1 million to Murdoch if he can prove that his comments were authorized by God. Clearly a facetious attempt to play up the controversy. Campaigning in northern Indiana, Murdoch says voters aren't paying attention to the controversy.
They're not talking to me about it. I've come in this room and several other rooms this morning, and the issue hasn't come up other than from the press.
Joe Donnelly, meantime, continues to fan the flames.
Mr. Murdoch's comments were hurtful to women, to rape survivors, and to their families. And so I thought that after further reflection, he might take those words back, but he is not.
Will this race swing on the abortion issue? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat Dan Parker, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwannis, the host of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV State House reporter Jim Shella. Mike McDaniel, is Murdoch right? Is this overblown by the media?
There's no question that for the last 10 days, this has completely dominated all of the media reports. I think that was to be expected from the comment. And, you know, clearly the guy wishes he had that one back again. I think he was 14 minutes away from absolutely being the next United States senator. Now that's in question.
Fair to call him the Bill Buckner of Indiana politics?
Well, I'm not gonna make a reference to Bill Buckner at this point. But look, you know, he wishes he had that statement back. And just when I thought all the momentum was starting to swing his way from Republicans who were considering what I called the Harry Reid effect. And then the survey that we're going to talk about here in a minute, 10% or 48% of Hoosiers hope that Republicans control the Senate versus 38%. And I think people are starting to go that way. And then when this comment took all of that away from that momentum and kind of ground to a halt at that point. So he's going to have a great day by the top of the ticket to get this thing back on track.
Well, let's talk about the survey that came out today, the Howie DePaul poll done by Democratic pollster Frank Yang and Republican pollster Christine Matthews shows Donnelly up by 11. A month ago, he was up 2. Christine Matthews believes that they have captured a Murdoch moment here. Hard to argue.
You can keep going if you want. Just to correct something that Michael said, you know, Donnelly was always ahead going into the debate. It was going to be a close race.
Within the margin of error.
Yeah, it was in the margin of error. Joe had a lead. But this comment and his extremism was affirmed with his comment. We had been running that he was a Tea Party extremist. We'd been laying it out, and, you know, he sort of checked the box and gave everybody permission to say, we're not going that way. The poll confirms our internal polling. It completely disproves Richard Murdoch's dream world of his internal polling.
This is better than the Donnelly internal polling, right?
By a little bit.
Yeah.
And it had a much larger Republican sample, which for Joe Donnelly is a very good thing.
We've been saying for months and months and months that this was about the Lugar Republicans. Suddenly it's not about the Lugar Republicans anymore, or it's about them and a bunch of other people.
Right. I think it's for the Lugar Republicans and then the larger what may have been categorized as undecideds, which in this poll is still very large. I think that's very interesting. But, you know, I will agree completely with Dan on this point. In that race, you kind of have the impression that Donnelly was doing well, and if he kept it close, he had a really good chance. But then Murdoch's comment allowed people to look at this whole race again, reevaluate, and it breaks away from Murdoch at that point.
I think that's right. I think, as Dan suggested, a lot of the polling showed either a statistical dead heat or maybe an advantage for Donnelly, which, again, in this political climate, to have Donnelly even at the same neck and neck with Murdoch, now I'm talking about several weeks ago, I think clearly was an advantage for Donnelly. But as John said, you get this moment. This really crystallizes support behind Donnelly, and I think for those who might have been, maybe even including some Lugar Republicans, found it very uncomfortable. And the thing about it is, it's not as if the abortion issue was going to be a surprise. Let's look at this. If Ann were here,
all three candidates are pro-life.
But here, right. Here's the point I'm trying to make. If Ann were sitting here, she would tell you that 6-8 months ago, she started the war on women theme, and that has been a Republican theme here and across the country.
Well,
then suddenly
Richard Murdoch's got a huge problem.
But
with
let me finish. Then you have the Todd Akin situation in Missouri. Then you have another Republican candidate, Tom Smith, in Pennsylvania. So it's not as if I were a Republican candidate and I thought this is going to be an issue where I've got to make sure my wording is incredibly precise.
Stay away.
And then still to in the best case scenario, misspeak his position.
The wonderful thing for your business is that, you know, when you look at the poll, 87% of Hoosiers heard this comment. And it, like John said, analyzed it, took a step back and said, this is exactly what we feared about this guy.
45% said that they have a less favorable view of Richard Murdoch as a result.
And what's interesting about this is that Donnelly last year supported legislation that would deny federal funding for abortion in cases of rape.
There was the opportunity prior to this to paint him as more extreme on abortion.
And he voted for that legislation in the last year. So, I mean, you know, there's a situation.
But now it's Murdoch who's running the ad with nothing but women talking about other issues.
No question, Michael, this is turning on her dime.
Your point is Richard Murdoch had a chance to answer a simple question as a pro-life Republican. He started it by saying, I had thought about it a long time, and then ended his campaign with what he said.
He took it one step too far, and it cost him.
We'll make this very quickly.
This is a perfect case study for people who study politics, the tale of two mailers. A few weeks ago, we had the mailer where the torch was being passed from a hand that ostensibly was Dick Lugar's to a hand that was ostensibly Richard Murdoch's. That exploded. I mean, it had a consequence, but not the one that the PAC that put it on intended. This, on the other hand, is a mailer that's getting, I think, hits the mark and also generates a lot of the free media as evidenced by this conversation.
Too much money in this race.
Yeah. We're going to come back to this with predictions at the end of the show. Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific poll question in connection with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question is, do modern campaigns discourage public service? Your choices are A, yes, too many personal attacks, or B, no, candidates need to be tested. Last week's question was, is Richard Murdoch's position on rape and abortion extreme? 35% said yes, 65% said no. I did say that was unscientific, didn't I? To take part in the poll, just go to wfyi.org/IWIR and look for the poll. As the rape controversy damaged the campaign hopes of Richard Murdoch, Republican candidate for Governor Mike Pence spelled out differences between his position and Murdoch's.
I have a very consistent record on the right to life in the Congress, and I've consistently voted for exceptions in cases of rape, incest, and the life of the mother.
But the John Gregg campaign has uncovered right-to-life surveys from this year and from 2008 where Pence says he's opposed to exceptions for rape and incest. In 2011, he co-sponsored a bill that would ban abortion in all circumstances with no exceptions. That's the same position spelled out on a campaign website Pence posted in 2002. Dan Parker, how would you characterize Mike Pence's position on abortion?
Well, in the last 10 days, this has been Mike Pence's Romney-esque moment, where he has tried to be etch-a-sketching away sort of position after position after position. He's had now three different positions on this issue in the last year alone. This is a problem for him because he came out and said that he was for the exceptions when he got the right to life endorsement. That isn't what he wrote. So he does have a problem there. It's not consistent.
Yet, in the poll that came out today, he's ahead 47-40. The Libertarian's getting 6%, so really he's only got to get to 48. It's not going to hurt him, it doesn't appear.
Mike Pence has been consistently voted against abortion and the exceptions the entire time he's been in Congress.
That's not true.
Indiana,
He was a co-sponsor of a bill.
Dan, it's absolutely true.
Well, but it didn't come up for a vote. It didn't come up
for a vote. And Donnelly voted for it, too, by the way, and was a co-sponsor, by the way.
Not
but Mike, and Indiana is a pro-life state.
Mike Pence is pro.
You just said it was pro-life.
Well, it's pro-life, but it's not that pro-life.
That's what Mike has voted for every time he's voted in Congress.
He is not.
Every time he's
voted
in
Congress. Listen to what he's saying. When he's voted. It's not when he's filling out
candidate
surveys.
Every time he's voted in Congress, he's voted for the exceptions.
So it is his Mitt Romney moment.
And women. John Gregg claims to be pro-life. Joe Donnelly claims to be pro-life.
With three exceptions.
All of these people.
Consistently.
Are all pro-life. And Indiana's a pro-life state. This is not going to have any effect on Mike Pence, who's got a 7-point lead right now.
Whether Mike Pence has been consistent or not, this controversy hasn't touched him.
Absolutely not.
I don't think so. But the abortion issue, again, is we shouldn't be surprised that it's playing the way it is. Gallup came out with a poll, again, national poll, back one in September, one in early October, and a lot of people were surprised when it showed that for one in six American voters, abortion, regardless of which side you're on, is a threshold issue, meaning, you know, that's effectively a single issue voter. And then they took 12 swing states. Now, Indiana was not included in that. You looked at the women among undecided voters there, and it was the number one issue, higher than jobs, higher than the economy, higher than foreign policy. So, I mean, and a lot of people scoffed at the Gallup poll at that point and said that's some sort of anomaly. But the way that this issue is playing here in other states where abortion has been thrust into the spotlight, I mean, it makes you wonder if Gallup might not have been onto something all along there.
A lot of polling information has been released in the last week or so, internal polls from both sides. And I think the Pence campaign said the race was at 9. The Gregg campaign said it was at 3. This new poll, of course, has it at 7. I'm believing the independent poll.
Yeah, I think that of all of them that are out there, that has the most reliable sample and the most reliable source, you know, of the poll itself. I think a couple things about this. One, I just think it's fascinating that this far down the road, Pence's numbers have not moved that much over the course of the life of this campaign.
A month ago, this was 47-34. Pence's number didn't change.
Over the life of this campaign, his number has not changed much. I think that's fascinating. Two, I think the difference here on the issue of abortion is that Murdoch said it and Pence didn't. And that's the difference.
But the problem, though, for Mike Pence is that he asked for an apology, then embraced him afterwards. And you know, John Gregg is doing the right thing by attaching him because he endorsed his candidacy. They have it on video. It's in the ad.
But it's not
sticking. And John, you're absolutely right. He spent $7 million, and he has not moved an inch.
John Gregg is so pro-life, he put Vice Simpson on the ticket with him, who's one of the biggest pro-abortion candidates
in Indiana.
One of the differences in this campaign and why you're talking about the numbers not changing very much, Mike Pence did not run one negative ad against John Gregg, did not mention him one time in the entire campaign. John Gregg has done nothing but attack him from day one. And so you when you make your decision that you're going to do that and not soil the other candidate and not dirty him up at all, then you take your chances on how far along you can go. Well, I give Mike major style points for sticking by his guns and not running one negative campaign in this whole ad, and that's why those numbers have changed. John Gregg just now got to 40 after all this time. He didn't have enough time left to close that gap, and you know it.
I do think that the difference, though, between this governor's race and past governor's races is that the Senate race has taken up so much oxygen, so much airtime, that this is really more of a down-ballot race-type situation than in past years.
Didn't have to be.
Yeah. I was going to say, when John and I first covered an election in Indiana in 1988, candidates fell all over themselves to fill out candidate questionnaires, news organizations especially, because they were viewed as harmless. And every 4 years, every 2 years, depending on the race, that's eroded. Now, I think you see the vast majority of candidates who say, I'm not going to touch a questionnaire with a 10-foot pole. And unfortunately, that's the downside of that is it's much harder for the electorate to figure out where people stand.
Mitch Daniels won by 7 in 2004. The headline was, Daniels wins big. That's what you're going to see this week.
New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg endorsed President Obama for re-election this week, and he also made campaign contributions to a pair of Indiana Democrats. State Senate candidate Tim Delaney received a $15,000 donation from Bloomberg, and he says it's the result of his stance on education reform.
I think fundamentally what I put forward is a willingness to listen to both education reform and other sides, including ISTA and some of the teachers' unions, and bring all sides to the table.
Marianne Sullivan, another Democrat running for Senate, got the other donation. John Ketzenberger, this is the biggest Senate race in the state. Tim Delaney versus Scott Schneider, maybe $1 million and more spent. Will Bloomberg's involvement make a difference?
It comes awful late, but you know, 15 grand is 15 grand, and in a campaign like this where they've been going at it hammer and tong, it can't hurt. You look at that district, and it was decidedly more moderate. It still is a Republican district, but it's much more moderate than it was when Scott Schneider won in a special election three years ago.
Well, he won a caucus election.
Right, caucus election to fill the term, and he was replacing Teresa Lubbers. And so I guess we're talking about Lubbers Republicans here and how they'll break in this race, and whether the more conservative northern end or the more moderate southern end carries the day.
Would not very many competitive legislative races. In Marion County, you got that one. Then you got one for the Indiana House with Cindy Noe running against Democratic challenger Christina Hale.
Again, no surprise. A lot of this is why people are frustrated with the way districts are drawn, gerrymandering, or call it something better or worse, depending on what term you want to use. Love it or hate it, it does depress the possibility of hotly contested races, because there tend to be all Republican, or certainly heavily leaning, or the opposite.
Talk about down ballot. Legislative races have really gone unnoticed this year.
Yeah, they really have. I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. The top races for president, senator, and governor have sucked all the oxygen out of the rest of it. But the Bloomberg endorsement, let me remind you that he also endorsed Melania Kennedy.
Okay.
Well, this race, the Christina Hale, Cindy Noe race, and the Marianne Sullivan, Brent Waltz race, I mean, it's really the beginning of sort of getting rid of Tea Party Republicans out of Marion County.
Fewer Indiana public schools got the top grade this year, but the Department of Education says more schools are performing higher than average. The State Board of Education handed out grades for more than 2,000 public schools under a new grading system this week. It gives each school grades A through F based off a variety of factors, including efforts to improve test scores. The board says some 40% of schools got A's compared to 47% last year, and more than 7% got F's compared to 5.3% in 2011.
We believe that these measurements are far better than the old No Child Left Behind 221 measurements. We believe they give us that comprehensive view. Make no mistake, there is some complexity to this.
State Superintendent Tony Bennett there, who, by the way, is up for re-election. John Schwanes, should we question the timing of this release?
You mean... Oh, I didn't even think about that, Jim. Hey, with the election coming up, I hadn't thought about that. Now that you mention it, I guess that probably is fortuitous timing if you're able to go out and talk about some of the improvements. I think Hoosiers generally like the notion of having an ABC. It's what they are accustomed to. Some of us more accustomed to the low end of the scale than others. But
I kind of like pass-fail.
So that part I like.
Incomplete.
The difficulty here, and you'll hear it from the critics who say the problem is it's not an apples-to-apples comparison because, in fact, the criteria are different. And they would also go further to say, even if once we have a period of time where we can compare apples to apples, what they would say is it shows if you have an A that you're teaching people how to take tests, not necessarily, again, this is the criticism, teaching people to think or develop the skills that are going to necessarily be helpful for them in the working world.
All right, and the poll we've been talking about, big surprise there. Tony right. Bennett, 40. Glenda Ritz, the Democrat, 36. Is Tony Bennett in trouble?
Well, according to that poll, he is, but, you know, I think that we've talked now twice, and I'll inject it a third time. You talk about down-ballot races. The superintendent of education is one that's off of everybody's radar screen. I have a hard time, although I will say, you know, Tony Bennett's made the last 4 years very interesting, has ruffled a lot of feathers, so if there is a huge ISTA turnout on Tuesday, that might make something of it, but I don't think he's seriously looking at defeat at this point.
You getting your hopes up about school superintendent?
Well, let's just remember one thing about 2008. Tony Bennett was elected with barely 51% of the vote in 2008 when Mitch Daniels
was an open seat, and he had a challenger who was much better funded.
The challenger wasn't much better funded. The challenger this year. No, Glenda Ritz has much more money than our candidate in 2008. But, you know, Mitch Daniels got 58% of the vote. Tony Bennett got 51% of the vote in 2008. This was the most interesting number that really no one talked about today in the poll.
And I will guarantee, and this is only half tongue-in-cheek, you'll have several thousand Hoosiers who vote for him only because they dance to his music at their wedding.
Yeah, okay.
And a lot of people will say, hey, that's
all
a familiar
name. First prediction.
Hoosiers love accountability. You're right about that. He is going to win because it's going to be a big Republican day, and they like what he's doing to change education.
All right, time now for our election preview roundtable predictions. Let's start with president in Indiana. Who wins Indiana in the president's race?
President Obama will win nationwide.
But not in Indiana. All right, Mike.
I stick by what I just said.
Yeah.
Romney's going to win Indiana and win it big.
51-41, the poll says.
I'm thinking bigger than that.
No. Romney will win Indiana.
I think I'll make it unanimous except for the interesting wording from Mr. Parker.
Are we going to talk
Romney
about
will
national?
Win Indiana.
Or
Romney will, no.
No, right.
We're doing Indiana. Senate race.
The Republicans are going to have a huge day, and this is going to be a lot closer than all you guys think it is.
But can Richard Murdoch
I don't know
it
if
out?
He can pull it out, but it's going to be a lot all closer than you think it is.
Who wins?
Donnelly.
Who wins?
I think Donnelly wins.
Donnelly.
Joe Donnelly wins the Senate race. Okay, Governor, start with Dan.
Closest governor's race in history, John Gray comes from behind and wins.
Mike.
Mike Pence by at least 7.
John. Clearly the movement, as we talked about a moment ago, is on John Gregg's side, but I think you still have to say that Mike Pence is likely to win.
I think Pence, but probably by 3, maybe 4.
Put your money on Mike Pence. All right. Attorney General, is that a contest?
No, Greg Zeller winning, going away.
Kay Fleming hasn't put up much of a race.
She's a great person and a great candidate.
And will she win?
If John Gregg wins the governorship, she wins. She wins the Attorney General's office.
John.
Wow, I am just marveling. All right. The answers these guys
look,
have been
I've been where he's been. This is hard.
It's too bad you can't see all of this on full camera because they are both squirming big. I think that there is no contest. Greg Zeller wins.
Yeah, I agree. And he didn't ask you to name the candidate. He offered to name it. So, I mean, he wasn't put you on as the way that under the spotlight you might have been under.
Any surprises in congressional races?
Mullen and Crooks.
You say that Democrat Brendan Mullen will defeat Jackie Walorski in the 2nd District and Dave Crooks will defeat Larry Bichon in the 8th District.
Brendan Mullen benefits from a huge Donnelly plurality in CD2. And the closest race that no one talks about, Shelley Yoder and Todd Young.
You buy any of that?
No. I think 7 for sure of 9 and maybe 8 of 9.
Which one would get you?
Carlos May is going to be better than anybody
what?
Thinks
you think he
is.
Can beat Andre Carson?
Whatever you
because that district
you
got
came
so much
here,
better,
you pass
and
it over
Republicans
here.
Are going to have a great day.
You are
okay.
crazy.
Any?
I don't see that. I think it's going to be the final tally, R versus D, will stay about the same.
7-2.
I think it may be 6-3. You know, who knows? Something goofy could happen. I think
six,
the Donnelly
it's actually
6-3
now, but Donnelly's
the Donnelly number
seat,
coming
right?
out of
so
St. Joe
the assumption
County
is it'll
is
be 7-2, and I think it could remain 6-3 with that seat staying with the Democrats.
Okay, state legislature, the Republicans gain seats, take on both houses.
Senate stays the same. The Republicans get between 64 and 67. Announced.
From 60, up from 60.
Democrats pick up 2 seats in the state Senate, Marianne Sullivan and Tim Mullaney, and it stays the same in the House.
That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Dan Parker, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwannis of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/podcast. Or starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shella of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Ice Miller, proud to support Indiana Week in Review. Things can go wrong in 1,000 different ways. Businesses need a law firm that knows the 1,000 and first. The team of legal professionals at Ice Miller is committed to helping put the pieces back together. Ice Miller, it's a complex world. Be advised.